Hi, this is Ola, your host at Get Rich a Teacher, a podcast for ambitious language teachers and coaches. As a language teacher or a coach, you know that what you do can absolutely change lives. You watch your students and clients every day get successful in their careers, at school, in relationships, because of the language skills that you equip them with. You are their biggest fan and cheerleader, but who is yours? That will be me. I'm here to inspire you, motivate you, and give you a positive kick up your bum. I'll also help you build a profitable, sustainable, and enjoyable teaching day business because you totally deserve to have one and to build it your own way. If you want to find out more about my free resources, go to the link in the show notes or go to my website, olakowalska.com. Now, grab a drink and tune in. And by the way, don't forget to let me know what you're doing while listening because I absolutely love receiving messages like that on my Instagram at Ola Coaches Teachers. See you there. It's a very emotional topic today. We're going to be talking about why most freelance teachers and coaches struggle with marketing. It's one of those topics that everybody talks about all the time, including me, but I don't think we are still getting anywhere. So today I wanted to shed even more light on why you may still be struggling, even though I kind of talked about this already quite a lot. But today I kind of had a think about it and I've distilled it all into 4 points. And I'm obviously going to give you tips on how to change that for you. And so you can feel like you're not, because I don't think perfection in your marketing and feeling like, oh, you are the best marketer in the world, I don't think that should be your goal. Because number one, you are not a marketer. I don't know many teachers who have degrees in marketing. I don't know many teachers who actually even have an interest in becoming marketers. It's just one of those things that I think are being demonized. It can definitely be easy and approachable, and you can make it something that works for you. It's a little bit, I always have this association, and maybe that will work for you as well. So I'm going to share. I have a very weird relationship with exercise. Exercise to me was always one of those things that I had to do. I never, or maybe it was even a tool to lose weight. So there was all those stories and all this pressure that made me hate exercising, right? But only when I realized that it's supposed to bring me so much more, and that I can have fun while not being the biggest athlete in the world, that I started to seeing it in a completely different light. And I have a completely changed relationship with the exercise now. It's become, if you follow me on Instagram, you know, it's since I discovered pole dancing. So what I want you to take away from today is that thought that I want you to discover your own pole dancing, but in marketing, whatever that is to you. I want your marketing to feel like pole dancing feels to me. I'm not a champion. I'm not the best in my class. I'm probably like still very much A2 level maybe compared to people who are much more advanced, but it works. It's great. I keep coming and showing up and that's it, right? So the 4 areas that I mentioned are mindset, clarity, burnout and hassle culture. And the 4th is guru advice or trying to copy others. Those are quite self-explanatory, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper so that you know what we're dealing with. Obviously, the mindset thing is the biggest and most annoying thing because everybody gets a bit tired now of coaches talking about mindset. So I'm just going to very briefly explain how this could be showing up for you. If one of the first thing you say, and that's, believe me, is about 90% of teachers that come to work with me, is I'm not good at marketing or I hate marketing, then this is the reality that you're going to live in. So if you keep convincing yourself that it's bad, it will stay bad, right? So I'm, again, not saying that you have to say that you love it, that you have to use some artificial affirmations and write it on your mirror. No, it's not about that. But it's about creating space for something else, for maybe the fact that there is at least one little element that you like about marketing. So for some clients of mine, it's they actually like creating graphic posts for social media, or some of them actually got to enjoy recording videos. And again, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be your thing, but I encourage you to start exploring. I don't know if you've ever considered journaling on that, but saying literally on a piece of paper, hey, how do you feel about marketing? Why do you think that is? And trying to see, explore, ask yourself a question, what could be the least of all that evil that marketing is, right? To me, what I see when I work with people is the mindset issue behind marketing is fear. Is fear of not being good enough, is fear of being too visible, is fear based on, hey, I'm an introvert, I just hate talking about myself, I hate the attention on myself, and that's all absolutely valid. What you can do about it is you need to explore how, maybe what would help is having a list of how such thinking that you hate it, that you're bad at it, is helping you at the moment, because it is helping you. Don't get me wrong, that the mindset blockages, the particular things that you're thinking about marketing, even if they're not helpful, because that's what we're trying to solve here, they are keeping you safe. So you're telling yourself you're bad at it because it's a coping mechanism. So explore, what is it helping you with? And on the other hand, write on it on a second piece of paper, or on the other side of the same piece of paper, what is it actually not giving you, not allowing to do? What is it preventing? Because maybe that list will already, on both sides, will already give you some clarity. So this is the end. I'm not going to go into the mindset because I feel like this is the essence of it, and we don't need to spend more time on it. There are, however, tons of tangible other, not that mindset isn't, but there is definitely lots of things that you can literally start acting on that will improve your situation even from today. So one of those things is the lack of clarity. Again, one of the most common problems that people have that they come to me with is that they don't know what to say. Right? So when they may have already learned from me that they shouldn't be teaching words, because that's not a marketing strategy. But then what do I say? So what should I teach them maybe some grammar or stuff like that? No, we're going to forget the language content for a bit. We're going to think about it from a different perspective. So in order to have clarity on what to post, you need to know who you're posting to. So who your people are, who your target audience or your niche are. I deliberately stopped using the word niche that much in my content because I feel like it creates lots of confusion. A niche could be something like, let's say you are a teacher of Spanish and your niche becomes business Spanish, that's a niche, right? But that doesn't mean that you have a target audience. So what I encourage people to do is, it literally doesn't matter what niche it is, but you need to get to know the people that you want to reach. So if it's business Spanish, maybe it's specific people within business. Maybe it's corporate workers. Maybe it's people who want to move to the UK, whatever. Not to the UK, to Spain. or whatever else. Remember, it's about people. When you have clarity around who those people are, it's so much easier then to figure out what those people are afraid of when it comes to language, their life, and their career. It usually can be divided into four categories. People study language for four main reasons. I haven't found more than that because everything else can be put into those categories. So category number one is career. Category number two is study, so academic kind of purposes. Category number three is relationships and like social reasons, let's say, relationships and social reasons. And number four is pleasure. So an example to each could be, obviously the career is the easiest. So it could be a particular job. So it could be, for example, learning a language to improve their career, right? Learning a language to move to a different country to be able to do their job. It could be a specific job or it could be just generally a job, right? So it could go into different directions. Academic, it could be to be able to pass an exam. It could be able to make friends when they go to uni in a different country. The social and relationship reasons, it could be communicating with their family or friends in a different language. It could be belonging in a new place. That kind of stuff. And pleasure, I kind of put the polyglot type of people who like to learn lots of languages in that category. It could be also because somebody wants to, let's say, watch their favorite shows in a foreign language. That's all absolutely fine. We aren't going to be talking about the urgency behind them, because the urgency will have a massive impact on how willing people are to pay you for help in those areas. But this is the basis. This concept is something really, really good to understand from the get-go. So your people should belong to one of those groups. The more clarity you can have around what they're feeling about their language in relation to one of those, the better for you, the easier for you. Because from there, that's how we create content. That's how we create ideas for things to say on social media, in podcasts. So a great example here is this podcast episode is called "Why Do Most Freelance Teachers Struggle with Marketing?" This is it. This is one of the struggles, fears, and things that I've realized my audience has, right? So I'm not talking about five tips five ways to learn how to market, right? Because it's okay, it would be useful, right? But it's not as relevant. I make it relevant to my people by saying why they specifically struggle. Can you see the difference? And you can do the same thing with your people. So that clarity around your people is going to help. And there is a second kind of version of clarity, second, let's say, well, point B in the clarity point is the clarity around what you're selling. So if you don't know what you're selling to people, you will never know what to post, because that is exactly why people still post stuff that is purely educational, but never about paid offers, right? So you need to combine two. You need to combine clarity around your audience and what you're selling to them that will solve those problems. Number three, or category number three, is burnout, hassle culture, the whole talk about consistency. I recently attended a few talks and I didn't know that in 2024 we're still allowed to say that we're just not good enough. If we're not consistent, we're not good enough. I literally heard that and it made me sick, a bit sick, to be honest, because I don't think anybody ever takes into account that there are people such as you who work, who most of their time is still spent teaching rather than marketing. So how can we make them be more, because obviously in their dictionary, consistency means being regular and ideally posting daily. Most advice is around that. I call it absolute bullshit and an effect of our hassle culture and people being absolutely not realistic about what the life of an average freelancer, not even a teacher, but a freelancer or a small business owner is. A small business owner or a freelancer doesn't have a team. They have limited resources. They have limited energy supply. They Like all of that is never taken into account. But what you can do about it is become aware. Become aware of the fact that if you don't take control of your own time, energy, and you don't realize that, hey, I've got so many hats to wear here. If I want to be successful in my business, they kind of have to work together. So it's not about sacrificing marketing because you're teaching 90% of the time. We know that that's not going to work. You probably notice that you teach, if that's your case, if most of your time and energy is spent teaching, it means that you're neglecting marketing. That's why your marketing isn't working. It's not because you haven't got another trick or hack or gimmick about to use Instagram in a certain way. It's because you don't have the time, literally. Or the other way around. You cannot just become a marketer. It has to work together. And burnout is real. It's preventing people from taking meaningful action. So when I work with people, I always tell them we need to create space. So creating space or lack of space would be a massive problem for you if you're struggling with mass marketing. I don't know if you can see that, but to me, it's quite obvious that if your mindset is, if your kind of belief is that, well, I hate marketing, then subconsciously, you're going to treat marketing as only if I have time, right? You're not going to prioritize it. And I'm not saying prioritize in terms of, again, do more of it than teaching, but there needs to be time and space for it. At the same time, you can't burn out. So creating balance is a super, super, super hard thing to do. What I suggest to people as my tip here for you is thinking of your week in terms of, or even your month, in terms of a bit of a ratio. So at the beginning, if you notice that you teach 90% of the time and maybe have 10% of the time for your marketing, maybe you could increase the ratio in favor of marketing. Maybe rather than posting whenever you feel like it, maybe you could commit to posting once every other week and then once a week and then go from there. Maybe you could just start increasing it very, very slowly. Maybe you could, because a lot of people, and I always tell them that, you don't have to start, and you shouldn't start with that ideal situation in mind. So like, oh, I'm going to write one newsletter and post 5 times a week and also record a podcast. That is my system, or even more than that. But I run this business full time. And it took me about 3 years to create a system that is sustainable, and I've got a team. So stop comparing yourself to me, because there is nothing to compare. So I would say start small, but start increasing the ratio so there is more balance. And finally, the fourth point is guru advice, which is related to everything else that I said. Guru advice, or trying to replicate other people's success. So guru advice is, as I said, usually very harmful, and usually guru advice, you can recognize it by the fact that they will usually make you feel like you're less than. And if you buy something that they offer, or even if you watch a post that they offer, then you'll be better. You become more successful. This is a very emotional technique that a lot of gurus use. And there are also a lot of people in this space who were successful, but then the question is what success is, because funnily enough, nobody ever talks about their earnings. Nobody. I talk about it quite openly every now and again, but none of the people who have massive audiences, the only kind of measurement of that success is usually that number of followers. But I need receipts. I need to see if the business is actually profitable and viable, because a lot of people fall for that kind of arguments that, oh, well, if they have a massive audience, then it must mean that they are successful. What if it's not? But please be aware that those people know that it's attractive. So they will, there are a lot of teachers who become social media superstars and they then claim they are experts. Being an expert doesn't mean that you've become successful and then you're going to try and tell other people how to copy you. Because unfortunately, that's how a lot of it is done. Being an expert is being able to recognize a human that needs help and helping them achieve a goal with all the knowledge and expertise that you have. People who have become successful are great. I love success stories, but very often they are not experts. They are just successful people. So trying to listen to them, very often they become gurus, or trying to replicate their success is very often extremely risky because there is no proof, there is no way of checking that this will work for you. And very often those people also tried and experimented and did tons of things that made them reach a certain status eventually, right? So these are the four things. I would say that in order, and a final word of advice when it comes to guru and replicating other people's success, I want you to be critical. I want you to become a critical thinker. Whenever you see advice around social media, that even for a tiny bit, it requires a lot of self-awareness. So even if there is a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of you that tells you, ooh, that makes me feel bad. That makes me feel like I'm not good enough, like I'm not doing enough. Then question it. Because that is likely to be an emotional manipulation sales technique. They are maybe not trying to sell you anything yet, but they want you to get hooked on their content so you can buy later. So listen to advice that makes you feel good, makes you feel like you want to experiment, makes you feel like, hey, I can do it my way. I don't have to post 5 days a week. Sometimes we kind of find ourselves, kind of admire people who do so much, post every day, have those beautifully, neatly prepared posts or reels or whatever. But to be honest, could you actually do that? Just be critical. Think about it and don't fall into those traps of it's not jealousy, but of thinking that that's the only way to become successful. You get to have your own way. Alrighty, and that is it from me today. Let me know if you enjoyed that. As always, I'm very, very happy when I receive messages from you. And if you could please subscribe and rate and leave me a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, that would be extremely helpful and I would be super grateful. Thank you so much and I'll see you again next week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please do subscribe and leave me a review. This helps me reach more people like you and help them. Also, don't be a stranger. Send me a message on Instagram or on LinkedIn and make sure that you sign up to my newsletter where you'll get inspirational stories, tips, and access, early access to all my offers straight to your inbox weekly. Also, as well as reminders about new episodes of this podcast. Also, check out my paid offers, The Rocket Fuel, which is a course that will help you become a booked out teacher by learning how to promote yourself effectively, and my signature Rocket Accelerator that will help you build a profitable and sustainable business around your own group language course. That's it from me. I hope to see you again here next week. Bye.